speed through our final verse in our study of essential verses in the Bhagavad Gita, because there is to be some sort of ceremony this evening, they say. So this verse we will look at tonight is Bhagavad Gita, chapter 11, text 55, in which Krishna is explaining the essence of duty. We have heard about the essence of Vedanta, the essence of God realization, the essence of devotion, the essence of surrender. So having surrendered, what should one do? So that we will learn about tonight in essence. So 11:55 reads, Mat karma krin, mat paramo, mat bhakta sangavarjita, nirvaira sarvabhuteshu, yasamam eti pandava. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service, free from the contaminations of fruitive activities and mental speculation, he who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of his life, and who is friendly to every living being, he certainly comes to me. So we'll focus on Srila Prabhupada's purport. It's a very lengthy purport. So in the time we have, we can only select certain statements from this purport. Anyone who wants to approach the supreme of all the personality of Godheads on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the supreme personality Krishna must take this formula as stated by the supreme himself. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality, and to teach one how to go back home, back to Godhead. Now, here is the verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual activity, devotional service. So here are some notes. In this purport, this section of the purport we just read, there are some significant phrases. One is, how one can understand his spiritual existence. Another phrase is, his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality. And thirdly, how to go back home, back to Godhead. So can someone guess at what the significance of these phrases would be? Yes, sambandha abhideya prayojana. These are indicated here in these phrases, and that means that Sri Krishna in this verse is giving Arjuna instruction on sambandha abhideya prayojana. We've already explained what those are earlier. So here's a quote from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 20, text 143. In the Vedic scriptures, Krishna is the central point of attraction, and his service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, sambandha, Krishna's service, abhideya, and love of Krishna, prayojana, are the three great riches of life. So continuing with the purport. So the point is that Krishna in this verse is explaining to Arjuna these three great riches of life. So no work should be done by any man except in relationship to Krishna. This is called Krishna karma. For example, one may be engaged in business, but to transform that activity into Krishna consciousness, one has to do business for Krishna. If Krishna is the proprietor of the business, then Krishna should enjoy the profit of the business. And jumping ahead, the purport continues, if one constructs a very big building for Krishna and installs the deity of Krishna, one is not prohibited from living there, but it is understood that the proprietor of the building is Krishna. This is called Krishna consciousness. If, however, one is not able to construct a temple for Krishna, one can engage himself in cleansing the temple of Krishna. That is also Krishna karma. One can cultivate a garden. Anyone who has land, in India at least, any poor man has a certain amount of land, can utilize that for Krishna by growing flowers to offer him. One can sow tulasi plants because tulasi leaves are very important. And Krishna has recommended this in Bhagavad Gita. Patram pushpam palam toyam. Krishna desires that one offer him either a leaf or a flower or fruit or a little water, and by such an offering he is satisfied. This leaf especially refers to the tulasi. So one can sow tulasi and pour water on the plant. Thus even the poorest man can engage in the service of Krishna. These are some of the examples of how one can engage in working for Krishna. So some notes on this. The word sambandha means connection. So one who connects his work to Krishna, mat karma krin, is established in his spiritual position. This is the beginning. This is how we make our connection, sambandha, with Krishna. That we engage ourselves, whatever we're doing, we connect that to Krishna. Mm-hmm. This takes place even before the process of regular devotional service, following regular principles and so on. You may know from the 12th chapter, there's this series of verses where Krishna speaks how one can become completely Krishna conscious in stages. So the topmost stage, as expressed in verse 8, is to simply fix your mind always on the transcendental form of Krishna. This is samadhi, total absorption in the form of the Supreme Lord, without any deviation for a moment. But of course, if you cannot do that, that's for someone whose consciousness is completely purified. So if one finds that process difficult, to always think of Krishna without any deviation, then Krishna says one should follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. And if one cannot even do that, then Krishna says, abhyasepi asamartosi mat karma paramo bhava. If you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. So, in the beginning, one should somehow or other connect his activities to Krishna. This is sambandha. Prabhupada writes in Message of Godhead, when ordinary work aims at such a transcendental objective, this work is called karma yoga. By this process of karma yoga, one gradually attains self-purification, then transcendental knowledge, next perfect meditation, and ultimately transcendental service to the personality of Godhead. And here's another quote. In the preliminary stage, one is advised to always work for Krishna. One must be always searching out some duty or some engagement, for it is a bad policy to remain idle even for a second. So this is clearing up a misconception many people have about spiritual life. They think that spiritual life means to give up activity. But that has been rejected by Krishna. Where? Third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In the very beginning. Actually, they're also in the beginning of the fifth chapter. There's some famous verses. Krishna in the fourth verse of the third chapter, not merely by abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. In the beginning of the fifth chapter, also, Krishna speaks of what is a sannyasi. So, the renunciation of work and work in devotion are both good for liberation, but of the two, work in devotional service is better than renunciation of work. And there are many other verses where Krishna stresses that, for instance, again in the third chapter, if one just tries to give up work artificially, then his mind will remain attached to materialistic work, work for sense gratification. That is called mithyachar. He's just a pretender, appearing to be renounced, but actually not. So therefore, Prabhupada writes here from Perfection of Yoga, it is a bad policy to remain idle even for a second. When one actually becomes advanced through such engagements, then he may not work physically, but he is always engaged within by constantly thinking of Krishna. That's the higher stage. In the preliminary stage, however, one is always advised to engage one's senses in the service of Krishna. There are a variety of activities one can perform in serving Krishna. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is intended to help direct aspirant devotees in these activities. For those working in Krishna consciousness, there are simply not enough hours in the day to serve Krishna. There are always activities, engagements, both day and night, which the student of Krishna consciousness performs joyfully. That is the stage of real happiness, constant engagement for Krishna and spreading Krishna consciousness around the world. And going on with the purport, the word matparama refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in his supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. So this is indicating the prayojana, the great necessity, which is the essence of Lord Chaitanya's mission. Srila Prabhupada writes, Lord Chaitanya, or this is a quote, statement by Srila Prabhupada, he speaks this. Lord Chaitanya says, Abhideya bhakti prema prayojana. Prayojana means it is necessary. Purushartha siromani prema mahadana. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's preaching was based on this principle. Prema pumarto mahan. What is the objective of human life? He said that objective of human life is to attain love of God. Here's another quote from Srila Prabhupada. Prayojana, it is necessary, it is not optional, compulsory. If you don't take to Krishna consciousness, then you continue to suffer. Therefore, it is necessity. It is not that if you like, you can take it. If you don't like, you reject it. If you reject it, then you will suffer. And if you take it, then actually you will enjoy life. Now, what is interesting, this matparama, that in Bhagavad Gita 18:68, Krishna promises parama bhakti, pure devotional service in the spiritual world, to those who preach the message of Bhagavad Gita. And if you like, you can note the similarity of these two verses, 18:55 and 18:68. Ya idam paramam guyam mad bhaktesho abhidhasati. Bhaktim mayi param kritva mami vaishishi ashamshaya. There are many words that are the same. Parama, mad bhakteshu, even kritva. Kritva means activity. Like Sri Krishna says, mat karma krin. So kritva. So for one who explains this supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. So Krishna is promising this prayojana, this parama bhakti, to those who preach. And then that brings us to the abhideya. As indicated by the word madbhakta, he fully engages in devotional service, specifically in the nine processes of devotional engagement: hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers, carrying out the orders of the Lord, making friends with him, and surrendering everything to him. One can engage in all nine devotional processes, or eight, or seven, or at least one, and that will surely make one perfect. So abhideya refers to the ninefold processes of devotional service. According to Maharaj Prahlad, Mahajan Prahlad Maharaj, one who engages in these processes is already established in transcendental knowledge. This is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, Prahlad Maharaj gives the ninefold processes. And then he concludes by saying that one who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. And then according to Bhagavad Gita 4:35, when one is situated in transcendental knowledge, he sees all living beings he sees that all living beings are within Krishna and are his. Naturally, therefore, in his abhidhya activities, he is eager to engage other living entities in Krishna's service. Indeed, this is his duty, and it is the test of his advancement in real Krishna consciousness. So I have a real nice quote here from Srila Prabhupada about duty. So what is his duty? Janma sartaka kari. First of all, awaken your own Krishna consciousness. This is the sambandha point. First of all, you awaken your own Krishna consciousness. You understand Krishna. And then go out. Kara para upakar. Because people are in darkness. People are in darkness. They have forgotten Krishna. This Krishna consciousness is meant not that I have understood Krishna, now pack it up in the box and see it sometimes. Oh, I have become Krishna conscious. The Prabhupada is giving this interesting symbol that being Krishna consciousness does not mean that you pack Krishna consciousness up in a box and you keep it in your closet, and once in a while you open the closet, take out the box and look, oh, I am a devotee. Close it and put it back. My Guru Maharaj condemned this. He said, Mantumi Kishera Vaishnava, my dear mind, you are thinking that you have become a very good Vaishnava and chanting Hare Krishna, imitating Haridas Thakur and smoking bidi. This imitation has no value. My Guru Maharaj condemned it. He said, Mantumi Kishera Vaishnava, what a rascal you are. You are thinking that you are Vaishnava. Nirjanera Ghari. What is that? I forget now. Tava Hari Nama Kevala Kaitava. Pratishtatari Niranjera Ghari Tava Hari Nama Kevala Kaitava. My dear mind, you are very much proud of becoming Vaishnava. In a solitary place, you are imitating Haridas Thakur. Nirjanera Ghari Pratishtara Tari. You are this solitary chanting of Hare Krishna means that you want cheap popularity. Oh, he is chanting Hare Krishna. That is not possible. You cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. So by imitating Haridas Thakur, keeping connection with women and doing all nonsense, you cannot imitate Haridas Thakur. You must work. You must go out for chanting, for preaching. This is the real chanting. Yadadeke tarikaha Krishna upadesh. This is wanted, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has never said that you may imitate Haridas Thakur and in a solitary place, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, bidi, bidi, bidi. Not like that. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, go out. Yare deki tarika Krishna upadesh. Amara agyai gura hoya taro e desh. So our request is, you all foreigners, so I have learned something about Krishna consciousness. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order. Although he expected that every Indian should go out for para upakar, that means preaching. But anyway, some of the Indians, at least one, but if you take this mission and go everywhere, in every corner, I am thankful to you. You are already doing that in Europe and America. They are deep asleep. People are sleeping under misguidance and they are becoming candidate for being carried away by the Yamaduta. This is the position of the whole world, Yamaduta. Palaya Barakata Naya Yomachi Piche. Yamaduta will not excuse you. However, you may be proud of becoming independent. This is not possible. To save the human civilization, the rascal civilization, that there is no life after death and you go on enjoying as much as you like, this wrong civilization is killing civilization. So you save them. You save them. Otherwise, the Yamaduta is there. So, the sambandha means the beginning. Whatever work one is doing in the material world, one connects that to Krishna. That is called sambandha. But as one becomes advanced in devotional service, then abhideya. Abhideya means actually following the principles, ninefold process of devotional service, serving Krishna with devotional feeling in the heart. And Srila Prabhupada especially stresses this point, going out and preaching. This is actually the real meaning of abhideya, active devotional service. And then Krishna has promised, Bhagavad Gita 18:68, I will give you the prayojana, parama bhakti. I will give you that supreme devotional service, supreme devotion to me that is found in the spiritual world, in Goloka, Vrindavan. So here's another point. The term Sangha Varjita is very significant. This is from the purport. One should disassociate himself from persons who are against Krishna. Not only are the atheistic persons against Krishna, but so also are those who are attracted to fruitive activities and mental speculation. So, therefore, this is a note on that. Therefore, Sri Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Parichaja, give up fruitive activities and mental speculation and just surrender to and associate with me. So in Bhagavad Gita 18:69, Sri Krishna says that no one can be more dear to him than the preacher. Therefore, the preacher always has Krishna's association. See, so if the point is that we should give up Sangavarjita, give up bad association, there's no better way of doing this than to become a preacher. Because Krishna says, there's no servant more dear to me than the preacher. So that means the preacher always has Krishna's association. If you have Krishna's association, there's no question of materialistic association. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made the same promise to the Kurma Brahmana. You may recall this from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya stayed at the house of one Brahmana called Kurma. And it was when Lord Chaitanya wanted to leave further, going South India, this Kurma Brahmana had become so attached to Lord Chaitanya that he wanted to leave his family, leave his hometown, and just go with the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya said, no. He said, you stay here. And then that's when he spoke that famous Yara Deki Tara Kaha Krishna Upadesh. You stay here and you preach. Whoever you see, you tell them about Krishna. Tandra Edesh. And this way, you save your land. You save your country in which you are living. And then in the next verse, Lord Chaitanya, another famous verse, he told the Kurma Brahmana, by doing this, you will always have my association. I will always be with you. Because Krishna Shakti, Vini Nahi Tara Pavarti, this is stated, Kali Kalera Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtana. In this age of Kali, the Dharma is Krishna Nama Sankirtana. Spreading the glories of Krishna's holy name, preaching. So how can one do this? Without Krishna Shakti, Krishna Shakti, Vini Nahi Tara Pavartana, without Krishna's special potency, it is not possible. So Lord Chaitanya said, if you follow my order and you preach Nam Sankirtan, you will always have my association. And that association of Lord Chaitanya is actually seen in the success of the preacher. Because actually, what can we do? We are powerless. We are fools, conditioned souls, very fallen. So how we will preach on behalf of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unless he preaches through us? So if one becomes a preacher and has the association of Sri Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the transcendental message of Godhead comes through him. Success is seen that others who hear this message, their hearts are changed. They also become devotees. So in here, there's no question of this asatsanga. Although the preacher goes forth into the world, he's preaching to so many low, fallen persons, the modern-day jagai madais, which is everybody. But he's not becoming contaminated as long as he has this association of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the best way to give up bad association. Not again to withdraw somewhere, some lonely place, and try to do this it's called Nirjan Bhajan. Jana means people. Nir means without. So Nirjan Bhajan means one is chanting Hare Krishna in some lonely place, avoiding all contact with people. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati condemns this because the infected mind, the materially infected mind, will just start to imagine all sorts of nonsense. This is the asatsanga. One has to associate with your own mind, and that's the worst association of all. Because the mind is filled with so many dirty things. And if we're all alone trying to chant, the mind will just overwhelm us with all sorts of nasty, contaminated images. And then we will fall down. So although it seems completely, in one sense, illogical that one's safest position is to go out among all the degraded persons. But if one goes out for preaching, then one is protected. Sangha Varjita. Here's a nice quote from Srila Prabhupada. This is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 27, purport. Thus, the more the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, the more the desire for material enjoyment decreases. The seed of material enjoyment automatically becomes impotent with the increase of the Krishna consciousness movement. This is a very nice statement for those who are troubled by material desires. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada reveals the secret that the more the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, then the more material desires become reduced. And the seeds, these anartha bijas, they become impotent. So this is the best course of action. Go out and preach. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, we don't have to read these sections, but if you read the purport, you'll find how Srila Prabhupada is especially stressing this preaching work as being the service that is most pleasing to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, I'll just read one. Yes, here it is. Therefore, the highest benefit one can render to human society is relieving one's neighbor from all material problems. In such a way, a pure devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord. Now we can imagine how merciful Krishna is to those engaged in his service, risking everything for him. Therefore, it is certain that such persons must reach the supreme planet after leaving the body. So again, this is the same thing that Krishna is saying in chapter 18, text 68. All right. So as I said, I wanted to keep this class a little short. And did you have tests in your other classes? No? Okay, then I don't feel so bad. Well, I'll give a test. How many like this class? Okay, so you all pass. How many didn't like the class? All right, so you all passed the class. Are there any questions? Yes?
You said that by combining our work with Krishna, we can reestablish our relationship. That means Krishna Karma, yes?
Yeah.
That means bhakti?
That's the beginning stage of bhakti. I read from the 12th chapter, Krishna says, if you're unable to follow the regular principles of bhakti yoga, which is actually where the abhidhaya begins, because abhidhaya means that, it means exchange with Krishna, loving, the beginning of loving exchange. So for that, one has to be on the transcendental platform, and that begins by following regular principles. But even if one cannot do that, then Krishna says, you can work for me. So at least in that way, one becomes established in a relationship with Krishna. You see, there's connection with Krishna through working. Yeah, it's the beginning. But Prabhupada, we read a purport, Prabhupada calls this, it is karma yoga, actually. If one is not following the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, but working for Krishna, then that is called karma yoga. But it is.
I have difficulty to say what is actually the karma yoga and the bhakti yoga.
Yeah, karma yoga means, you see, karma yoga and bhakti yoga are also the same in the higher sense, because a devotee who is situated in transcendental devotional service is also engaged in activities. Activity means karma. But karma also has this sense of just being work, you see. So if the only thing one can do is one's work, say you're a, a gardener. You have the skill of being a gardener or a farmer. And you do that for Krishna, but you're unable to follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, at least in the beginning. So then, he's not a bhakti yogi. He's a karma yogi. But the advantage, there's still, if he's doing his karma yoga under the direction of Vaishnavas, under the direction of the devotees of the Lord, then he has all opportunity to come to the platform of bhakti yoga. That's what the Krishna consciousness movement, that's the opportunity that this Krishna consciousness movement is offering. Because the movement is a Vaishnava movement. So we give that chance to those who may not be able to follow the regulative principles in the beginning, but they can do some service for Krishna. In this way, they get the association of Vaishnavas, and by that association, they become purified and they can come to the bhakti platform. You know, the Varnashram Karma Yoga. One is doing one's duty, you know, and perhaps in society, and perhaps the persons he's associating with are not, you know, they're not actually devotees. They're just Varnashram Dharmis themselves. So they're just engaged in following the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma, which is only indirectly connected with devotional service. Somewhere up at the top, you know, of the social stratus, there'll be some Vaishnava Brahmana, and you know, it's the service is coming up, Shudra rendering service to Vaishya, who renders service to Kshatriya, who renders service to some Brahmanas, and then these Brahmanas, they give that service, the results of that service, to their guru, who may be a realized Vaishnava, and that way there's some connection. But it's rather indirect. But in Krishna consciousness movement, the opportunity is there. It's a better chance because there's more direct association. But Varnashram, you see, Varnashram system was meant for the society as a whole. Society as a whole, there are not many devotees you will find in society as a whole. So it's a very good social system for regulating society as a whole. And people are taught under Varnashram Dharma to respect the saintly person, a sadhu, a Vaishnava, whenever he comes. It's understood that that is rare, that association is rare. But at least when a Vaishnava does come to the door, they've been trained by Varnashram, oh, bring him in, you know, prepare food. You know, this you see in India still. You come to someone's house, they know how to welcome a saintly person. They bring in, they render all services. And then they want your ashirvat, your blessing. They bring the children. Please give the blessing. So all of this is just meant to offer the opportunity for the sadhu to preach. The sadhu is not interested in receiving services. He's also not interested in giving ashirvat, blessing for long life and good health. He's interested in preaching. But you see, the Varnashram society is so nice that it facilitates preaching. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he did say that this is one of the missions of Krishna consciousness movement, to gradually spread Varnashram principles throughout society. Because that will only enhance the preaching more and more. So you're clear on that point?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Actually, from the same point, I have a question. Isn't it so that when karma yoga is connected with bhakti yoga, it becomes akama?
Akama karma yoga, yeah. Yeah, karma yoga without desire. But that's the same as bhakti. It's because the bhakti, you see, bhakti yoga means that the desire, there is desire or emotion, but it's all aimed at Krishna. That's the meaning of bhakti, devotion. And there's no other desire. So, akama karma yoga means one is doing his occupational duty. It is, in a sense, karma because it's according to his guna and karma. He was in Varnashram system. So here is someone who was born as a Vaishya. He was trained as a Vaishya. So by guna and karma, he's a Vaishya. But due to association with Vaishnavas, he engages his guna and karma in Krishna's service. And instead of wanting to get from his guna and karma, material sense gratification, he just wants to give everything to Krishna in sacrifice. So that is bhakti. But it can be called karma yoga too, because the karma, it's completely in yoga. It's yoga yukta, perfect yoga of his activities to Krishna. And then that's opposed to the sarva kama, or like that. What is it? What is it? You have the other term. There's akama or naishkama. And then there's kama or sarva kama, karma yoga. Karma yoga, in which there are many material desires that one is trying to fulfill. He may also be giving some portion of the result of his work to Krishna, but he's keeping so much for sense gratification. Anything else? Yes?
It's also said that all the activities in our movement are preaching, a kind of preaching.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, the blood is preaching. Say the event and also the preaching.
Yes, that's true. Everything is geared for preaching, but still, the activity of direct preaching, because Krishna is very specific in Bhagavad Gita. He says, one who explains this secret to others, to the devotees, but the Vaishnava sees everyone as a potential devotee. So therefore, Prabhupada says, Vaishnava is even more merciful than Krishna. So anyone, one who explains this secret to the devotees, Krishna guarantees devotional service in the transcendental world. Parama bhakti, the supreme devotional service. So, it's very specific. One who explains this secret, this confidential knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So one may be a pujari, one may be a cook back at the temple, but still there's opportunity to explain, isn't it? Every night there's Gita class. So, the learned pujaris can show the transcendental fruit of all their worship of Krishna by sometimes at least doing that, giving Gita class. But also there are guests who come. So, all devotees, even if they have some service that keeps them in the temple, should be eager to preach whenever there's opportunity. It's like Krishna consciousness movement can be compared to an army. In an army, you have the frontline soldiers who are fighting. And then you have so many soldiers who are behind the lines. You know, they're driving the supplies up to the front lines in trucks. Or they're, the cooks and the supply officers, and so on and so forth. So many... So many soldiers are engaged in we're having a game of the heads here. So many soldiers are engaged in other activities besides directly fighting. But every one of these soldiers has a gun. Why is that? Because there may be a sudden attack from any direction from the enemy. And suddenly the rear lines, they're having to defend themselves. The enemy have come around the back. So, in a war, everybody is ready to fight. That's the meaning of war. So, Sankirtan movement is like that. You may have some other service. You're not going out in the Sankirtan van on the front lines. But you should be ready to preach. Krishna may send someone at any time to you. So, this is not a very good reflection on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. If someone comes to our Radhadesh castle, and he's received a book and he's very interested and he's going around looking and he's seeing devotees, and he's, trying to catch their attention and they're, not looking right or left, going about their business, completely ignoring him. And there he is standing in the lobby and they're coming down the stairs and going up the stairs and, won't someone preach to me? And then finally he gets in his car and drives away without hearing. So everyone should be eager to preach. This is the Sankirtan movement. Anything else?
Question regarding the position of the shooters in the mind, for example, the tiger killing is just normal, it don't get reaction, the shooter for them is simple life, it's just their nature, therefore they get no reaction and out of punishment, but on the other hand I read that everyone has the habit of intoxication with alcohol, he must be threatened with death and must be punished for this.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the position of the shudra? Is he allowed to
have the shudra is under restriction. The lower class shudras. You see within Varnashram Dharma there are many classes within each section. Brahmanas, there are different classes of brahmanas. There are very high class brahmanas, very low class brahmanas. You know, brahmanas who are like it was mentioned in the other day by Ayodhyapati Prabhu from Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Sanodiya brahmanas. High class brahmanas won't even eat at their house, although they're brahmanas. They're considered very low because they perform rituals for very low class people. So among all these varnas, there are also classes, classifications. The highest class Kshatriya is, you know, something, you know, he's on the borderline of being a Brahmana. You know, he's so high class. So also among Shudras, you have high class Shudras who follow the regulative principle strictly. And then you have others who are more low class, doing common labor, unskilled. So they may be less able to control the senses. So for them, there are, but they follow Dharma, you see. To be in Varnashrama Dharma, there must be Dharma. Dharma means religious principles. So anyone who's within those four social orders, they follow a Dharma. So even the lowest class Shudra, he has a Dharma. It's mentioned. If he wants to eat meat, then he has to offer on the full moon night a goat to goddess Kali. And then only can he take the flesh. If he wants to drink, then he has to make his own intoxicating beverage just for himself. He cannot make it in quantity and distribute to others, otherwise he's punished. And all of this is, you know, in accordance with some ritual, just like the killing of the goat for goddess Kali. One has to chant in the ear of the goat that I am killing you now in this lifetime, and in the next life you will kill me. So you read this quote that one must be punished with death. So that's built in, this dharma for such people. That's what they're trying to be told, that if you do these things, then you simply bring destruction upon yourself. In the Mahabharata also, you know, the famous gambling match in which Yudhisthira lost everything. So later on when they were in the forest, they were just ended up, the five Pandavas and Draupadi, living in the forest because everything had been taken away from them. As a result of the second gambling, they had two gambling matches. After the first one, everything was given back. But then Duryodhana challenged again, and again there was cheating, and then they lost everything for 12 years. So Draupadi, she was asking Yudhisthira, why do you like to gamble? I mean, the first time we lost everything. They pulled my hair, they were trying to take off my clothes. I mean, you know, it was so terrible. And fortunately, Dhritarashtra gave everything back. But then Duryodhana challenged you again. And again, you took up the challenge. And now here we are in the middle of the forest. I mean, why are you so fond of gambling? She asked Yudhisthira. And Yudhisthira said, I want to instruct the whole world about the evil of gambling. So all of these sinful activities, it is understood in Vedic culture that they bring destruction, even though, like for Kshatriyas, they may gamble. But we see in the Mahabharata this illustration: you gamble, you lose, you, destruction. So same with drinking, same with meat eating, same with illicit sex. So therefore one learns by following dharma, this type of dharma for very low class people, one learns that these activities are bringing no good to my life, so why don't I give them up? Anything else? Yes.
Could you give us some suggestion how to study the Bhagavad Gita? Because we discussed one way you took essence of the Bhagavad Gita.
Mm-hmm.
We also know that there is also a few others way looking at Bhagavad Gita, you know, how the chapter develops.
Yeah, well, chapter by chapter study. VIHE provides such a study guide, chapter by chapter. This way, to look at the essential verses, and there are other essential verses besides these, but you can select important verses that you find often quoted in Srila Prabhupada's purports, for instance, and then you can study the Bhagavad Gita and find out in Krishna's explanation in different chapters the verses which support or which expand or somehow help you to understand more deeply this essential verse. This is what I was trying to do in our course. That way you can get a grasp of the basic subjects, the basic themes of Bhagavad Gita, which are always coming back again and again and again. And this, I find myself, is most effective for preaching. Because when you preach to someone, you know, you're talking about themes, about issues. They have questions on certain issues. What about yoga? What about reincarnation? What is the soul? They ask questions like this. So these subject matters are dealt with not just only in one chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and it's also not dealt with in a linear fashion. You know, one verse after another on one subject, and then Krishna goes on to it, and then you leave that subject forever. Gita is not constructed like that. Throughout all the chapters of Bhagavad Gita, you'll find themes reoccurring again and again. Some of the verses are very, very similar in different chapters. Very similar. Practically the same. So it's good to become familiar with the basic themes of Bhagavad Gita and the verses that throughout the Gita, throughout all the chapters of the Gita, that explain these themes. And then when you preach, then you know how to explain these themes very nicely. So it's both ways, I think. Because you also need to know the structure of the Gita. You need to know the structure of Krishna's explanation. So therefore the chapter by chapter study is good to see what Krishna talks about in this chapter, that chapter, so on. But you should also know the total, the recurring themes throughout all chapters. Yes?
It's useful to consider every verse that it is how it's connected to Sananda, Vyojana, and Navidya.
No, that's useful, but... Yes, that's very useful. Srila Prabhupada has written an analysis of Bhagavad Gita somewhere along those lines. It's useful because one can keep this in mind also for preaching. Depending on a person's level of advancement, if you're just trying to connect to Krishna consciousness, you concentrate on certain verses in Gita. Like that. Yes?
It seems like Arjuna keeps asking almost like the same questions over and over.
Yes.
And is that like for us because we're so slow that he has good, or because he gets a deeper understanding?
That's what Prabhupada says. Repetition is necessary. The same points have to be drilled home again and again. And Arjuna's, if you study the way he's asking questions, the basic question is the same, but they're from different angles. And that's very important to understand from all angles. Because Bhagavad Gita is very fundamental. You see, philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada said, is meant for the common man. It's meant for everybody. So it's very much, it's our, you know, preaching scripture. If one goes forth to preach, then we should preach from Bhagavad Gita, mainly. So if we become familiar with Arjuna's attack, you know, his the way he attacks with his questions, and study carefully how Krishna responds, then that prepares us also in our preaching. Yes, Hari.
Can it happen that preaching can become kind of sense gratification? Like karma yoga, we create karma. Maybe, for instance, Bhagavad was trying to replace it.
Well, that be, yeah, but that's not preaching, that's sightseeing.
But at the same time, it's called preaching.
But if he's going out to preach, then he must bring home a result. You see? There must be some result. If there's real preaching, then there'll be a real result. He may also, you know, I mean, naturally when one travels, when one goes out, one sees different sights. Srila Prabhupada, visiting different cities, he would see the sights. But he would, because Srila Prabhupada is the most expert preacher, he would connect everything to Krishna. He would go on his morning walks and even if there was some dog stool on the sidewalk, you know, Prabhupada would speak on this basis something about Krishna, Krishna consciousness, some philosophy. Prabhupada might ask, point with his cane at the stool and say, dog or man? Because they are becoming just like dogs. Maybe men are passing stool on the street now. He said something like that on walking on Venice Beach in Los Angeles. So you see, this world, the varieties of this world, this is all Krishna's energy. So a preacher, he knows how to connect everything to Krishna. So it's not sense gratification if that's what's being done. So we can stop. Then Braj Bihari will become very happy because he wants to make his ceremony. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.